Well, how are we doing, church? Thank you so much for connecting with us this morning. Good morning, Crescent Campus. Hello, everybody at St. Greg's, everybody at home. If you have a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to go today. We're in week number 2 of our series called The Best Is Yet to Come. And over the next several weeks, we're going to challenge you to understand that the gospel costs nothing, but it demands everything. And it demands that we get on board with God's plan for our lives and leave our lives and our plans behind. And so it's time to get on board with following Jesus, with being committed to the church and giving Jesus everything that you have. Amen? Let me set today up like this. January 8th is an important day in my life. January 8th was a day that changed my life in 1992. I was in a car accident that literally changed the course of my life. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the whole story because many of you have heard it before. The short version is I wrapped my 1988 Yugo around a tree. It was one of those I should have been dead accidents. Anyway, one of the few things I remember when I was lying there in the car, literally bleeding to death, is I was watching car after car after car just drive past me. Now, here's what's crazy. 95% of those cars were on that road were on their way to a Sunday night church service. There was like a big church in town, and that was the main road that you took to get there. Well, finally, a guy stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, I think you need an ambulance. And he sent one of his kids up to the house to call 911. This was way pre-cell phones. And he sat with me until the paramedics arrived. And one of the things that has always stood out to me was in that situation, neither that guy or the paramedics, none of them yelled at me. Like, none of them gave me a lecture on how to drive. They didn't yell at me and tell me how idiotic I had been. They didn't give me a book on learning how to drive on slick roads. Has anybody ever done that to you? They give you a book and they're like, hey, I read this. You should read it too. Try not to suck at life. Anyway, they didn't do any of that. They just went to work to get me out of the car and save my life. And I've never forgotten that moment. And that really is the idea behind the message today. Because if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. If we're going to make it through life, we really do need the help of Jesus and others. Listen, I know people say all the time, all I need is Jesus. That's the biggest spiritual cop-out I've ever heard in my entire life. Even Jesus needed people around him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested. I've also heard people say, well, you know, I need others. I don't need Jesus. Listen, when we discount Jesus, we discount the supernatural taking place in our lives in ways that we could never dream or imagine. So when it comes to really being successful in life and taking spiritual steps forward, we really is greater than me. And let me say this. One of the things we want for everyone who walks through the doors of this church is for you to understand you're not alone in the fire that you happen to be going through. I love what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. I know I told you Daniel 3, but we're going to get there by going through Deuteronomy 32. Bible says this, how could one person chase 1,000? Now think about that. One person chasing 1,000 people is pretty powerful. But watch what happens next. How can one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight? So one can chase 1,000, but with two, our potential increases exponentially. So with that, I want to show you a story in the Bible about three guys that are pretty popular. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, we first meet them in Daniel chapter 1. The nation of Israel had kind of been in a revolt and rebellion against Babylon. And Babylon, when they invaded a country, they would come in and they would take some of the brightest and smartest people. It's kind of like going to college and taking the top 5 or 10% of the people in the academic world. They would take the best and the brightest and they would ship them off to Babylon, re-educate them, and actually give them a government-type job. They would more or less be on staff because they were the best and the brightest people, the greatest minds thinking in that direction. So that's how we meet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Israel fell, when Jerusalem fell, they were captured and taken into captivity, and they went through some pretty tough times. In Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 2, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as a guy named Daniel, go through some pretty tough times. But in Daniel chapter 3 is where stuff gets real, because they work for a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was like an egomaniac. He had built a 90-foot tall and 9-foot wide gold statue, like a statue of himself. And I've heard people say that people who take selfies are arrogant. No, people who build 90-foot tall, 9-foot wide, solid gold statues, that's a big deal. And by the way, just for the Bible geeks in the room or online, the measurement for the temple that was destroyed in Jerusalem was 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. So he's basically setting himself up, don't miss this, he's basically setting himself up as God. So he built this idol, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. And then he said, we're going to have a concert. And when the music starts, everyone is going to bow down to the idol. Now for me, I'm like, I'm out. Bow down, dumbest thing I've ever heard. Then they threw in this warning. If you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into a blazing furnace and you're going to burn alive. Okay, guess I'm bowing down. So the ancient Babylonians, like to them, this wasn't that big of a deal. To us, we'd be like, I don't know. Seems like the wrong thing to do. But the Babylonians would bow down to gods all the time. It was very common in their practice. But to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this was a big deal. Because not only was the idol made in the exact dimensions of the temple that was destroyed, but they were told over and over and over and over again in the Torah, the Hebrew Scriptures, the first five books of the Bible, do not bow down to idols. You know that commandment, right? That you shall have no other gods before me. So for them, this would be clearly the wrong thing to do. And so they had to make a decision. Are we going to blend in or are we going to stand out? And sure enough, the music played and everybody bowed except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, this is what's cool. They didn't go crazy. They didn't start boycotting against bowing. They didn't yell at people for being idiots for bowing. They simply did the right thing. And you know, sometimes when you do the right thing, you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to brag about it. You just stand out. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did the right thing. And I just want to point this out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood together. They were unified in this. And this is where it gets interesting because Daniel tells us in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, when he found out that they didn't bow down, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. How many of you know you're going to make a stupid decision when you fly into a rage? How many of you know that? How many of you know that about the person sitting next to you? I have never made a smart decision when I lost my temper. As parents, don't we say stupid things to our kids when we lose our temper? Don't we? If you cut your leg off with that lawnmower, don't come running to me. Okay, freak. Now, he gets furious with rage. And then watch this. And ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true? Like, he was shocked by this. And here's the reason why. Nebuchadnezzar had a relationship with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were kind of like on his staff. We see in Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 2, they were not strangers. They knew each other. That's very important. This wasn't the first time that they had ever met. Like, they knew each other very well. He said, is it true? In other words, I can't believe this. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance. Listen, I believe in second chances. I believe that we serve a God of second chances and third chances and 80th chances and 567th chances. But do you know the devil will also give you another chance? You know that? The devil will give you another chance. Isn't it funny how sometimes you think you've got a temptation beat and then 2 days later you're facing the same thing? Anybody ever struggle with that other than me? I'm victorious. And then 2 days later, oh crap, I did it again. It's that pressure thing, though, that the enemy wants to continually put on us. Verse 15, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? I love that. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Because he knew they were Jewish. He knew they believed in God, the same God that we believe in. He knew that. So he's picking a fight with God. And listen, we know that's not going to go very well for him. But nobody knows this at this point in the story. They hadn't read Daniel chapter 3. So he's putting on them all of this pressure. And at the end of the day, when we choose to do the right thing and we choose to stand out and not blend in, the enemy is going to apply pressure to our lives. And we don't make it through that without the help of God and without the help of others. a while back, I was on my phone with a friend. He was driving around the Indianapolis area, and his tire blew. And so he pulls over to the side of the road, and he says, I'm going to have to call you back. And I'm not kidding. 10 minutes later, he calls me back, and he says, everything's good. And I'm like, did you drive into an IndyCar pit lane and have them change your tire? He's like, no, a state trooper pulled up behind me and a truck that was leaving the scene of an accident, and they helped me change the tire, got me back on the road. It was crazy, but that was just a reminder to me that sometimes we feel like everything's going along great in life, and all of a sudden, the tire blows, we're on the side of the road, and we don't know what to do. It's the help of Jesus and the help of others that gets us through that situation. And we've got to make a decision, church. Who are our onboard people? This is why I say this. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew this was coming. Keep this in mind. They worked for the king. They were on staff with the government. You can't hide the fact that you're building a statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. What is that? Nothing to see here. Just keep moving, keep moving. They knew the king's intention was, when the statue was built, to have everybody bow down. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I can almost imagine a conversation between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego where they locked eyes with each other and they got on board with the plan. Hey, guys, hey, we're going to do the right thing. I'm going to support you. I'm going to support you. You're going to support me. We're going to stand together. Even if we get thrown into the furnace, we go in there together. That's a difference maker. Who's on board with you? Who are your onboard people? Who are your ride or dies? The ones who aren't judging you. See, I have people tell me, I've got lots of people, Ryan. Really? Really? Let all hell break loose in your life. You'll find out who's on board with you. So yeah, you got people that say, I love you, but I love you if. But a true onboard person says, I love you, period. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Onboard people make a difference when we go through our trials. Because when we're surrounded by onboard people, listen. With the help of Jesus, with the help of other people, we can literally overcome anything the world throws at us. We will never, ever, ever do it alone. And so I believe that conversation happened because they had their mind made up before they went into the situation. And so their answer to the king, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I love this, don't miss this. This is really exciting here. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. I love that. I love that. How many of you know that when it comes to your life, you don't have to defend yourself? How many of you know you've got a God who's fighting for you, who loves you, who says no weapon formed against you will prosper, that God will defend you? He's fought battles for us. We're not even aware that he has fought. I'm so glad that we've got a God that will fight for me and not fight me, aren't you? Somebody say amen to that. I love that. And then it gets better. Verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. How many of you know that you have a God who's able to save you? He's able to save us from depression and anxiety and worry and addiction. He's able to rescue us from anything we go through. And that absolutely pumps me up. It should pump you up as well. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. And at this point, you're like, yeah, give it to him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tell him like it is. And then it gets real, because we see this in verse 18. But even if he doesn't, not a lot of amens right there. God will fight for us. Yes. God will save us. Yes. God will deliver us. Yes. He might not. See, they face that possibility. We know God can move. We know God can work. We know God can do this. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Now, maybe you're kind of looking at this and you're saying, that's not good theology, even if he doesn't. Because we've been told if you do the right things that he'll move. We've been told if you do the right things, he'll save you. But this is what I've learned. We live in a world where bad things really do happen to good people. Yes, that sucks to hear and it sucks to say, but the reality of life is that there have been some really bad things that have happened to some really good people. And there are some people in this church, you're going through something that maybe you never saw yourself going through, or you feel like you're in the middle of a fire that you never saw coming. And maybe you believe it's because you're a bad person or a horrible person, but maybe that's not the case at all. Because let me ask you this question. How would we know God is a healer if we were never put in situations where we actually needed to be healed? How would we know that God is a provider if we were never put in situations where we needed his provision? How would we know that God is able to save if we weren't put in situations that we actually needed to be saved from? See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying, listen, we know that God can, we know that God is able, but even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow. That's what onboard people do. They stay together. They stick with you no matter what. See, when it comes to people in your life, it's not what they say or if they pray. It's whether or not they stay. I'll say that again. It's not what they say or if they pray, but whether or not they stay. Because I've had people say, have you ever heard somebody say, hey, I've got your back, but it's only to see where they could put the knife so you couldn't get it out? Or have you ever had somebody say they'll pray for you? You know what? I know people who say they'll pray for you, but they won't talk to you. You ever met that person? I'm praying for you, but then you see them in public and they treat you like a leper. Unclean, unclean, stay away, right? But onboard people will stand with you even when you go through the fire. And you don't forget onboard people. You don't forget them. Now, at this part of the story, this is where you expect for God to just move in and rescue them, right? Because they had said the right things. But watch this, verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. You ever seen that person? Usually in traffic, in Walmart. That's how I get when I'm in Walmart. Anyway, he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. So this is what you've got to understand. This is what I've got to understand. Sometimes we do the right thing, and then we step into it. It's not as bad as what we thought it was going to be. It's actually worse. How many of you know that sometimes, even when you do the right thing, that things get 7 times hotter? They don't get better. It seems to get worse. And we wind up scratching our head going, what in the world is happening here? Like, what did I do wrong? Because I felt like if I live for Jesus, everything would go great. But right here in the Bible, these guys are living for Jesus, and it got 7 times hotter. Watch this, verse 20. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. He sent some of the strongest men to bind them up, To what? Bind them. Do you know the devil will send some of the strongest demons in hell to bind you, to discourage you, to beat you down? And here's why. Because he knows if he can get you to break down, you won't experience a breakthrough. And the reason some of you feel like you're on the verge of a breakdown is because God's about to bring a breakthrough in your life that you could never think of or imagine. So don't give in to the breakdown. Hold on for the breakthrough. Think about this. Why would the devil be attacking you so diligently if you weren't a threat to him? I hope you don't let the devil see more potential in you than you see in you. Listen, you are alive and breathing. You are on this planet because God loves you and has a plan for your life that is greater than anything you could ever possibly imagine. And you need to get on board with his plan, because if you go through the fire, it's not because you're bad. It's because he wants you to see something that without the fire, you never would have seen. Because watch this. Watch, this is such good stuff. Verse 21. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace. And I'm thinking up, why do you gotta tie somebody up to throw them into the fire? What are they going to do? But this is bad. And threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, watch this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, not just tied, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, on the my day sucks scale, that's a 10. Can we agree? I mean, getting thrown into a furnace is bad, but now you're tied up, right? The reason I'm making a big deal out of the securely tied is because I got to show you something that it took me years to see. Watch this, verse 20 or 24. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" I don't know if they had like a jumbotron. I don't know how he watched the whole thing, but he's watching this thing. "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men." How many? "Four unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." The reason he looked like a god is because he was the Son of God. Don't miss this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not see Jesus until they got into the fire. Sometimes we don't see his presence until we step into the fire. Now, there are a couple of points to make here. They went into the fire, and the Bible says, remember, I made a kind of a big deal about it. The Bible says they were securely tied. And right here, it says they were unbound. What the enemy, don't miss this, what the enemy put on them, Jesus took off of them with the thing that was meant to destroy them. What the enemy put on them, Jesus took off of them with the very thing that the enemy was going to use to destroy them. See, that really does prove that he takes graves and turns them into gardens. He takes broken things and puts them back together. He takes dead things and makes them alive. They were thrown into the furnace bound, but right here, they're unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. Let me ask you this question. Do you think when they were in the fire with Jesus, do you think they had peace, yes or no? Yes. Do you think they had joy, yes or no? Yes. Do you think they had hope, yes or no? Yes, absolutely. I believe they had peace, they had joy, and they had hope. But they didn't receive those things until they got into the fire. And when they got into the fire, they saw Jesus in a way that they never thought they had seen him, had it not been that they'd gone through what they had to go through. For those of you that feel like you're in a fire, all I would tell you is this. Open your eyes and look around. Because you're getting ready to see him in ways you've never seen him or experienced him before. Because he always shows up in the fire. I love this. Verse 26. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire." Now, wait a minute. Let's just do some math here. He threw three men into the fire. How many did he see walking around in the fire? Four. But how many came out? Three. Where's Jesus? He's still in the fire. Jesus is still in the fire, ready to help us. See, when we go through the fire, he's just as present with us as he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because Hebrews 13:8 says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never abandons us, even in the fire. Verse 27, "Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed." How big of a miracle is that? Ladies, you ever burnt your hair with a curling iron or a straightener, right? Does it smell? But it says right here, wasn't even singed. And then I love this. It goes on to say they didn't even smell of smoke. Remember when we used to go to restaurants and they used to have the smoking section and the non-smoking section? And it didn't really matter where they set you down. It's kind of like going to the pool. Would you like the peen or the non-peen section? Like, it all flows together. It's not like you can stop it. So they put you at a table right next to the smoking section and you just leave smelling like smoke for the rest of the night. The Bible says in this passage, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Here's what I got out of this. You're not even going to look like what the enemy wanted you to look like when you go through the fire. You're not going to smell like what the enemy wanted you to smell like when you go through the fire. What the enemy tried to put on you is going to be burned off when you walk through the fire with Jesus and others, because that's who he is and that's what he does. Amen? I love this. They didn't even smell of smoke. Their hair wasn't burned. Verse 28, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die.'" They defied. They defied together, the three of them. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. What the enemy meant for pain, God used for promotion. And at the end of the day, he's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out. I'm not saying you won't go through the fire, but he's going to bring you out. And when he does, you're not going to look the same as the way you looked when you went in. Because when you went into the fire, you were bound. You're going to come out unbound, and you're going to come out unharmed. You're going to come out walking with your head high in victory, knowing that God can and will deliver us in his time, not our time, in his time, because he is good and he is God. Let me end with this, because Pastor Mike or your campus worship leader is going to lead us in a song. Listen, we need to be the type of people who say, even if he doesn't, just like these guys, even if he doesn't do what I want him to do, I'm still going to follow. I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to trust. I'm still going to put my hope and my faith in him. Hey, I'm going to ask God to heal me, but even if he doesn't, I'm going to keep following. I'm going to ask God to take me from this situation, but even if he doesn't, I'm going to keep following. I'm going to ask God to take this away from me, but even if he doesn't, I'm going to keep following, because I know I've got the help of Jesus and I've got the help of other people that are on board and will stand with me. Even if he doesn't, I'm going to keep following. Even if he doesn't, I'm going to keep following. Even if he doesn't, I'm going to keep following. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can slow me down, because I've got the help of Jesus and I've got the help of other people. I'm on board with him and I've got people on board with me, so I know I can overcome. I know my Redeemer lives. And even if he doesn't, I will follow, because I'm not alone in the fire. And I know that the best is yet to come.